I have not been to bed yet, so hopefully I will not pass out on you.
I saw that you said insomnia is a powerful thing. I assumed that you went to sleep eventually.
No, I didn't. I was too angry and frustrated to sleep, so I stayed up and wrote code to distract myself instead.
What were you angry about?
There's this whole saga of the broken lawnmower, and it's just a really long story, and to say that eventually the insurance company decided they weren't going to cover the warranty.
The ride-on mower?
Yeah, that's less than a year old.
Okay.
And the people we bought the extended warranty through decided that, oh, they're not going to cover this. And, like, the company that repaired the lawnmower was basically holding our mower hostage until they got their money from the warranty people. And meanwhile, our grass is like a foot tall because it hasn't been mowed in 2 weeks. And I'm afraid our neighbors are going to come at us with pitchforks.
Yeah, and they are armed.
Yeah, and I finally, like, this morning, I finally called them, like, okay, how much is it? And they're like, $60. What? What? It's like, can't freaking take my money. Bring me my lawnmower. Yeah. So they're supposed to bring it back at 9 in the morning, and it's not supposed to start raining until about 4, so hopefully we can get the yard done, because the forecast has rain for the next 10 days after that.
Yeah, we, like, today is sunny here, yeah. And I had to race outside this morning and mow the lawn because
yeah,
I'm never home until, like, too late at night to do it, and it's been raining here, too, so the grass, right. Same thing, the grass is a foot high in parts.
Yeah, and I even tried to find other people to, like, someone else to come in and mow it, and they're like, and all the local lawn care companies I could find are like, we can't get to you sooner than 2 weeks because we're so backed up from everyone from the rain. And now we've got a few days we have to take advantage, you know, like, it's just like, they're like, $60, like, oh, $60. God, it's not even worth, like, we've been fighting with the warranty people for a week
for $60, and that they wouldn't cover it is
right.
Wow, nice business. Yeah. Model warranty people. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's dumb. I'll get my lawnmower back in the morning, and Richard can mow the yard, hopefully before it rains.
Yeah.
And I can stop being stressed out and anxious. And it's been bothering me a lot more than it should. And I know this, but, I mean, you know, my mental health is not the greatest. there are little things
that get to me a lot. The grass is too tall.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like one of those yak shaving exercises where, like, I just want to mow the lawn. Why do I have to, like, go through voicemail jail at some warranty company that, like, what was even wrong with it?
It ended up just being, like, a broken belt.
I have to confess that when we got you've seen our lawn once, it's really small. So it's like when we first moved in, it was like, I'm just going to get one of those, like, push mowers is like a giant rotating razor blade.
Right, the manual.
Yeah, and I'm just going to push around, which would be great. It would be perfect, but they don't work. So our neighbors have one. They've got a brand new high-tech fancy one. Doesn't work. So, I mean, the grass is just a mess. It's shorter, but it's super. It looks like someone who cut their own hair with toenail clippers.
Right, it's like the grass looks like it's been mowed by goats.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not horrible, but it's just not, you know, it's like those right. mowers are not that cheap anyway.
No, they're not.
I just love that it wasn't loud and I could do it at, you know, weird hours and it wouldn't be a big deal, but they just don't right. work. So,
and there's, like, less maintenance and don't have to buy gas in the oil.
That was the thing. I didn't want to have gas in the garage and all that.
Yeah. So we have a push mower, but there's no way we're doing this half acre lot with a push mower.
No. So then we got a electric motor, battery powered, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked great for one season, which is about 3 mows.
Mm-hmm.
Following year, when didn't start, nothing, just nothing.
Yeah.
And it was completely hermetically sealed. So there's like nothing. I mean, I have no skills whatsoever with physical things, but, you know, maybe I could have jiggled a wire or something.
Right.
And now the thing's just, like, glued shut. So, you know, call Lowe's. This thing doesn't work. Yeah, I charged the batteries. Battery's definitely charged. You know, the light says it's charged. Just doesn't work. Like, bring it in. It'll be like 3 weeks and $200.
You can get another mower for that.
Yeah, the mower was $200. I was like, so I threw away the push mower. I threw away the electric mower. I went and bought $100 gas, regular old mower. This is literally identical to the one that I used in 1977.
Right. You can get them at Walmart for like $80.
Yeah, and it works fine. And like one thing of gas will last me an entire year. So it's it took me 10 years to 10 years of and every time I go, and now my brain's doing it right now, we should just get a landscaper. And then every time I call a landscaper, they don't come. They don't call, they don't return your calls. They don't show up.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. This is like a $4,500 zero turn radius, 52-inch wide deck beast of a riding mower.
Yeah. Shouldn't have broken in the first place.
Yeah. And that $60 was with the pickup and delivery fee.
Tell you what,
which the guy gave me a discount on because they only live like 3 miles from the place.
I'll give you 80. Can you get it here today?
Yeah. He said they're short staffed and can't get it here today, but we're his first delivery in the morning, so.
Is solely a lawnmower repair shop and they're that busy?
No, it's not just lawnmowers. They do like farm equipment and stuff. Uh-huh. And I think also like boats and jet skis and just all kinds of things like that.
Kind of jealous of that job, actually.
Yeah.
Get this big old beast, like piece of farm equipment with like grass and stuff all over it. And I got to like get it. Like, it's my job to get in there and like fix it.
God, it sounds so much less complicated than building software, doesn't it?
Yes. There's something super satisfying about that.
Yeah.
I'm sure the pay is not great. That's the problem. I mean, I worked on a farm one summer and it was like super, I mean, I'm sure I'm romanticizing it in my memory, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, like that kind of work is like it's nothing to look down on, you know?
No,
like,
it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, creosoting the railroad ties, that was terrible. But, you know, stacking hay, that was kind of fun. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'm romanticizing it in my memory. it was pretty hot. I do remember that. Anyway, that's the polar opposite of technology, I suppose.
Yeah.
Modern technology.
Yes.
All right. So I feel like we're well underway with the Waffle Cast.
I feel like we are, yes.
Want to do the intro?
Yeah, we should at some point.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, you're joining the Waffle Cast already in progress. So there's like... All of our ideas for the episode this week are super weird.
Yeah, or super tiny.
Yeah. So we figured we just sort of waffle about that. You did paste a link to a news item into the Slack that I had missed. I had not seen this, and I did not look at it yet either. But
okay. It
looks like
our namesake, the Boston Dynamics Terrifying Robot Dog,
is now bipedal.
Yes, and is now capable of chasing you through the woods. It's that Black Mirror episode.
I boycotted Black Mirror. I can't deal.
Yeah, there's a Black Mirror episode with terrifying robot dogs that chase people through the woods and kill them, and it's just like the farther we go in real life, the more Black Mirror it becomes. And
yeah, maybe someone should stop these Boston Dynamics people.
Yeah, maybe.
It does sound like it's the perfect name. It's like sounds like a name straight out of a Terminator movie. Skynet, Boston Dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just specific enough. I mean, I'm sure it'll be great. Do they say in the... I assume it's one of those terrifying videos that they always do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do they explain what the purpose of this robot is at any point? Or do they just sort of show off the capabilities and leave it as an exercise to the watcher?
To be honest, I haven't slept in like 48 hours, so I didn't get that far in my research. I didn't go much farther than the headline.
It seems like they come out with new stuff really fast for a hardware company. Really, really fast. You know, still waiting for updates on, you know, software that I use or that we use, and it's like, wait, these guys are like iterating on robots like faster than somebody can update a Rails app. You know, it's like, geez. I did see one video where they were demonstrating, they were beta testing, I would say alpha testing, a new model robot dog in a parking lot. Have you seen this one? Mm-hmm. And Andy Rubin's dog is there.
No, I haven't seen it.
And the most alarming thing of any of these videos that I've seen so far was the guy who was driving the robot dog. At one point, he laughingly mentions, boy, it'd be really embarrassing if we accidentally killed Andy's dog. He says, ha 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 ha
ha. That's not disturbing at all.
It was so creepy the way he said it. Like it had happened a bunch of times, but not to Andy's dog.
Right.
It's like,
like, oops, it'd be a shame if that happened again.
Yeah. I know. Snow Crash? It was Snow Crash that had the robot dogs in it. Pretty sure they were, and they were like, you know, guard dogs, but like 100x, like guard dogs on steroids, dogs that could go 120 miles an hour.
Right.
Nuclear powered atomic dogs. So
that sounds like something you'd get at a ballpark. atomic dog.
I think that is actually the name of a wiener joint near my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I used to go to down in South Carolina. I used to go watch Capital City Bombers. I believe they're single A baseball team, and they're not in Capital City anymore. But either way, I used to go down there and watch Capital City Bombers play minor league ball. And it just seems like you should be able to get an atomic dog at a Bombers game.
That would be awesome. Oh man. So what else do we have in the list other than Boston Dynamics?
Well, you brought up something even more terrifying.
Oh, right.
And that was the prospect of being banned from Amazon. And then we were debating which mega tech company it would be worse to be banned from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't read this article. Erica was telling me about it that she was reading an article of, you know, a bunch of people were getting interviewed, a bunch of people who had been kicked off Amazon were being interviewed, and they were sort of like, what's the big deal? I only sent back 46 returns last week. They're free. You know, it's part of the deal. And, you know, it turns out, I guess my understanding of it is that some people sort of share their Prime account outside of their household, like, oh, I don't know, with their entire dorm, and
right.
get free shipping. And they end up with this massive amount of returns, which, you know, anybody who owns a business knows that's probably pretty irritating that they're
right. And just to say, it's not at all the same as tweeting your Starbucks rewards card to the entire internet.
Hey, that was all digital. So, and you know, in my defense, I knew I was breaking the terms of service and expected the FBI to kick my door in. So
yeah. And you weren't costing Starbucks boatloads of money through returns.
That's true. Yes. There was no carbon footprint to that one, I don't think.
No.
I don't think. Anyway, so we were talking about it, and I was like, when she was telling me this story, my brain, while I was listening, my brain immediately had sort of a fight or flight reaction. Like, like, how would I route around this if it accidentally happened to us?
Right.
Because getting kicked off of Prime would be a major life change.
I think I'd have to move to a big city.
Right. Like, how would you ever get a book again? Or not any book, but most books. You know,
right.
We have
quickly and conveniently.
Yeah, we have a local mom and pop bookstore, but, you know, what do they have? 5,000 right. titles, tops.
Right. You have to walk in and ask them to order it for you. And then I'm sure they just go to Amazon and click the buy now button.
Drop ship it. And they just be like, why don't you just order that on Amazon? No, I can't. I'm banned. Scarlet letter.
Don't start. It's been a rough week.
we were talking about it. It would be a big physical world shift. Like we would have to change our routine, you know? We're like getting banned from Apple would be like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm getting furniture delivered tomorrow from Amazon that I can't buy locally. I mean, I just can't. There's no options to do so.
Right.
I'd have to drive somewhere at least an hour away.
Yeah, me too. I'm literally getting a stand-up rolling laptop stand that I could probably get at IKEA, which is, you know, 45 minutes away.
Right.
Which I wouldn't even do it. You know what I mean? Like, it'd probably be good. I'd probably save a fortune because, you know, we're getting Amazon deliveries pretty much every day. But, you know, small needle, like a lot of knitting stuff, like needles and a new pair of shoes for the kids. It's just like nonstop. So,
I recently had to order several parts for my RC truck, which I ran headfirst at full speed into a concrete bench. Lack of depth perception sucks. And I had
at least you weren't in it.
Yeah, at least I wasn't in it. There was that. I had to order those from a non-Amazon website, and it was just... And it made me realize that it's very rare that I buy anything online that's not through Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pain whenever I have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ordered something from... I probably won't be able to even remember what it was, but it wasn't available on Amazon because it was super... It was a super weird... part. It could have been something from my father-in-law who rebuilds classic cars.
Right, actual vehicles.
Yeah, and it's you like order something 3 weeks. It's going to be 3 weeks before it gets here. Like, what are you walking it over from Oregon?
Right, and I'm so spoiled now that I'm even like, it's going to be 3 days.
Oh yeah, totally. So. And, you know, in the whole, like, you can't use their website on your phone. You got to get up and go to the computer. And then you, like, can't find the thing again. And
You can't tell She Who Must Not Be Named to just get it for you.
Right. Have you done that much? I'd never shop on there. Very rarely.
I do it for, like, some pantry items that I can't get locally that I just, like, have to continually restock on.
That's funny. I use it all the time to say add to my shopping list. But then it's just really more of a reminder, and Erica orders it later.
Yeah, that's funny. We used to use the shopping list a lot, but lately we haven't used it at all. But yeah, I do sometimes use it to like just reorder pantry items. It's pretty much, you know, I get the same thing all the time. It's stuff I could probably just go into Amazon and subscribe and save a little bit of money, but... Then I'd do that. There's going to be that one period where I go like 6 months without eating the thing.
Yeah, we do subscribe and save too. So like it's everywhere. Like so when you think about, you know, it slowly leaches into your routines. And when we're reading this article, I'm imagining tearing it out, it would like kill the host almost. It's like
I couldn't, assuming they were including AWS services in this ban. I couldn't host my website. I couldn't purchase 90% of the non-food stuff I purchase. I couldn't listen to or buy a lot of the books and music that I listen to and buy and read on my Kindle, which I guess I would have to throw away. I'd have to get up out of my chair to turn off my lights.
Oh, I forgot about that one. Oh, that would be brutal. I mean, obviously this is totally first world problems, but
right.
But man, it slowly but surely they've worked their way into, you know, my life intersects with Amazon at least two times an hour.
Yeah.
At least in the physical world. So like I'm doing something in physical space that interacts with Amazon at least twice an hour. And that's like really low.
Yeah, that is really low. Sometimes that'll be like all I'm doing for the hour. If we're taking into account the AWS services.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was assuming that would be separate. I'm just thinking about like, but you know, but would it? I don't know. It'd probably be pretty easy to fake that. It'd be hard to create a fake Amazon account because credit cards and
addresses and
addresses. Yeah, delivery stuff. Man, that would be rough. And, you know, compared to Google. So, like, Google's the other one. You know, Facebook's in this regard, Apple is a joke. I mean, nobody, you know, I'd have to switch off. I mean,
would right. And Facebook would be a minor social inconvenience, but would have no real impact.
With some people, I'm sure it would have zero impact, close to zero impact on me. Erica's mm-hmm. kind of sucking me in. I don't use Facebook at all. I use Messenger a lot. That would take literally mm-hmm. 30 seconds to put Erica in Slack, and that would be that. It would be right. absolutely nothing. If Facebook banned me, that would be nothing. I don't have any business stuff there. It's just no big deal.
Yeah, there'd be like two people that would have to occasionally call to speak to. That's it.
Yeah. And then Apple, assuming they couldn't take back hardware that I own, I already don't use. I don't know about what would happen with Face ID or like Touch ID. So that would be a little weird, but I would just switch back to an Android phone, which I have laying around like candy.
Right.
So that wouldn't be that big a deal. It'd be right. a little annoying for a day.
Yeah, if you couldn't use the MacBooks, that would be a little annoying. Because I just recently switched back to Mac OS after being on Linux for a while. And I got to say, for what I'm doing, the development work, and also wanting to use the Adobe software, I do like the Mac environment better.
Mm.
But you know, if I had to, I could make Linux. I could continue to make Linux work and dual boot Windows if I needed to. And
yeah.
There's ways around it.
Right.
And, I mean, Google threatened to ban my account once when they discovered that somehow that my kid was not old enough to have a Google account.
Mm.
And because I had given her an email address on my Google account.
Oh.
And but they ended up just banning hers and not the whole thing. And at the time, I was like, kind of freaking out about it. But, you know, that's a lot more replaceable than Amazon. I mean, I could basically just, like, if my Google account got shut down, yeah, it would stink and it would be inconvenient, but I could just go like switch to Office 360 or something and have basically the same tool set.
Mm. Yeah, it would be. So it's funny because the for me, it's Gmail and the calendar.
Gmail, calendar, Google Drive, and like Google Docs.
Yeah, I do use those somewhat, but I don't have anything. I use those almost like chat. Like somebody sends mm-hmm. me something, I look at it, it's downloaded, it's done. Not a big deal. It would be a little bit. It would not even come close to changing my daily routine or daily life. It would just like if, you know, if I couldn't use, all of a sudden my iPhone was bricked because I got banned by Apple.
Right.
It'd be a day or two of annoyance, and then maybe a few flare-ups of annoyance like 3 weeks later when I forgot something I didn't realize I couldn't get access to anymore. But that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say that the services that Google has that compete with Amazon a little bit would be, might be a slightly more ongoing irritation. And I'm thinking mostly around Google Play services because it's, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I'd rather lose Google Play services than lose Prime Video and Prime Music.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I still have to pay for everything on Google Play.
Yep. So now here's the thing. If I lost Google Play and the iTunes App Store, whatever it's called, I can never keep it straight,
mm-hmm.
then the kids would be mad. Like the kids would be flipping right. out because like, oh, here's a rough one. Access to, but you don't need to be logged into access YouTube.
No, you don't.
Losing access to YouTube would be a monster drag.
Yeah, it would be. But again, it would make my life less fun, but it wouldn't affect my ability to do anything for the most part.
Right.
I occasionally look up videos on how to do some weird, obscure thing that I'm doing, but for the most part, YouTube is entertainment.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. And it's usually a wasteful rabbit hole. But occasionally,
yeah.
I do, you know, I do get educational stuff from there, though, definitely. But yeah, I mean, of those four, it's funny to think about because it's like, for me, the most painful change comes from Amazon because they are the ones that infiltrated the physical world so much. The other ones mm-hmm. really, really haven't that much. Like Apple devices, but there'd be no way for somebody like Apple to brick my laptop. That wouldn't be possible.
Right.
Because I'm like never logged into iCloud or any of that garbage.
Mm-hmm. Same here. Yeah. Like there's no good alternative for Amazon.
Yeah. So we were thinking about it.
You could say like Google Home versus She Who Must Not Be Named.
Hmm.
And yeah, I get that. But then with the shopping integrations and all that stuff, really, you know, really it's the ability to just easily buy stuff.
Yeah. So Walmart
and the stuff your $99 Prime membership gets you.
Right. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a genius strategy. Like, we're hooked. We are. I mean, when I say we, I don't mean everybody. I mean, like, our household is definitely hooked on Amazon.
In fact, I thought about, I was looking at Google Home devices yesterday, in fact, and I thought, you know, maybe I should get one. But then I was like, no, I'd feel like I was cheating on her.
Yeah, I have one of each on my desk. And the only time I ever ask Google something is when it's more... I want to say
search.
It's more scientific.
Okay.
So like what will be the date 26 weeks from today? Right. Stuff like that. And, you know, the Amazon, the Echo device doesn't handle stuff like that very well. It's much more about entertainment and smart home stuff.
Yeah. And it can look things up on Wikipedia, but general searching, it's not as good at.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't, I've got a Google Home sitting here, and I, you know, use it once a month, maybe. It does have, I mean, this, the music's good, the streaming's good, but it just the she who shall not be named word just pops in my head faster.
Right.
So, and they're basically comparable, and yeah, you know, there's Google's coming, getting ahead with features, but whatever. I mean, I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't, yeah. You know, maybe there'll be a point in 5 years when it's just like the virtual assistant is right, just when the virtual amazing.
So much better. Yeah.
That's actually true. We didn't talk about Google I/O because we were on break, and there were the, you know, not to drill too much into that, but I could imagine a time in the near future when the assistant features were part of my everyday life.
Right. Where, yeah, I can too. And it's going to be in a little earbud.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to be like this monolith on your desk.
Right. I mean, Apple kind of nailed the form factor of the cellular watch and
the AirPods
or whatever they're called. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have that set up. I don't have the cellular watch, but I mean, it gets great reviews. Every time I see one on somebody, I ask them about it, and they just love it. I can leave my phone at home, they say. I'm like, wow, okay,
yeah.
And the general consensus is like, I don't get sucked into my watch, but it still keeps me connected. I can run with it. That's, you know, I don't like running with my phone. It's that smaller right. form factor, but connected to your ear. Unfortunately, and they can tell me all day long it doesn't, but Siri's terrible. So, you know, it would be amazing to have, you know, if, so like that would be some serious competition for Amazon
and Apple,
of course, but for the voice assistants, because Apple's not even in the game with voice assistants. Like if you look around at who's partnering with which, everybody's partnering with Google and Amazon. Nobody's partnering with Siri. It's like, that's over. So it's a 2-horse race at this point, basically. And they're basically the same right now. But Amazon took the approach of like, oh, we'll have people build skills and then that will create, they took the App Store model.
Yeah, they did.
And Google's like, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, not that you can't do that, but they're coming at it.
They're not relying on it.
Yeah, they're not relying on it. Exactly. That's exactly right. So it could, and they're investing in it like crazy. So it's easy to imagine that, oh yeah. So Google I/O, they demoed a bunch of stuff that was jaw dropping. And all of it's going to be released this year. So it's not like just vaporware stuff. And, I mean, it's insane. Like, so did you watch the demo of the assistant calling the Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, I did.
So I don't, you know, dear listener,
the hair salon and the Chinese restaurant.
The hair salon. Right. So dear listener, I'm sure you've heard about it, but if you haven't watched the video, it is pretty amazing. To any programmer that sees that is just jaw dropped. It's like you'd say to your Google assistant, hey, book me a hair appointment. For, you know, I need to get a haircut on Friday at whatever Salon Prov. Okay. I'll let you know when it's done. And then behind the scenes, the back end, I want to say physically calls the salon and a robot voice that sounds very human. Shockingly human. It says and it breathes and it, you know.
Yeah, you can tell it's not quite human.
Yeah, if you're listening for it, but it is really close.
Yeah, if you weren't paying attention and didn't know, you probably wouldn't notice.
Right. So what's so clever about this to me is that they're sort of piggybacking on existing technology to accomplish a task. So mm-hmm. instead of like, you know, I mean, in a sense, a phone at a business is, air quotes, an API.
Yeah.
It's just sort of a mechanical Turk unstructured API.
Right.
And they're like, well, it'd probably be easier to figure that out and solve that problem than it would be to like create a kind of an open table sort of API that company did a reasonably good job building out. But, you know, like, hey, if we could interface with people, if our computers can interface over the phone with humans, then
we don't have to build all this other stuff and convince them to use it.
Right. Yeah. We'll just use the plug that exists. So they essentially creating an adapter between the computers and the business. So I just like, if you haven't seen the video, just a quick taste of it is like, the computer calls the salon. Salon says hello. There's noise in the background. The person's a little mumbly and it's not real clear. The audio is just not that great. And it doesn't go smoothly at all. And the Chinese restaurant one doesn't even go close to smoothly.
No, it doesn't.
Heavy accent, misunderstanding the question, answering right. a question that wasn't asked, reasking a question that's already been answered.
Yeah, like the person... The human at on the Chinese restaurant call clearly was not a native English speaker.
Correct.
It kind of made me wonder, like, why didn't the Google Assistant just drop into Chinese?
Seriously? Oh, man, that would have been mad. And it could work. It could totally mm-hmm. imagine that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Just immediately detect the accent and be like, oh, do you speak Mandarin? Or if that's what, do you speak?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that just written or is that what you call the spoken language as well?
I have no idea.
I'm clueless.
I think it's the spoken language as well.
Okay. I think so too. Yeah. Reuven speak. Yeah. Mandarin. Okay. I think I'm a terrible yeah. American. Yeah, I am. Okay.
Yeah. I am too.
So that would have been, and that's like after seeing or after hearing really, I mean, it was a video, but it was just audio of the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is more or less figured out. I'm sure it's beta or whatever, but the hard part's figured right. out. Like switching to Mandarin or switching to another language, Google's already got dialed, so to speak. No pun intended. Oh, man. Oh, that would have been the demo to end all demos.
Yeah, oh, it would
let
have
me
been.
Just detect your language settings. Let me detect this human being's language settings.
Language settings, yeah.
Just switch to there.
Analyze the accent. Like, oh, it sounds like you're from such and such. Do you speak this language?
Yeah, speak the local dialect where the village where yeah. the person's from.
Yeah. Now, if it starts talking to me in Belter Creole, I'll be happy.
Okay, so since we're on a waffle cast and we haven't talked okay. about this yet, there was a huge furor in the sort of, I want to say, non-technical press that the assistant, when it called a human, didn't identify itself as a robot.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. I read about that and people getting all up in arms over it.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's deceptive and
end of the world kind of like this just shows how horrible Silicon Valley is. Like, how could they even think this was going to be okay? And I'm like, wow, I must be one of those horrible Silicon Valley people because I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I also don't care.
Yeah.
Like it's a business transaction. If it gets done, if I'm a business owner and this interaction happens and I end up getting money out of it, I don't care how it happens.
Right.
And
like what? Why does it need to be disclosed?
Right. And the assistant was like, I'm calling to book an appointment for a client.
Right. Right. So, and if it said, the part about identifying itself as a robot to me sets the wrong tone because mm-hmm. now that, because then it's going to sort of make then the person
gonna, like they're going to be on the defensive
that they need to talk like they do to an IVR system.
Right.
And that it almost like, it's like, so I can, from a design standpoint, just a pure design standpoint, let's just say everybody knew it was, well, no, that kind of, yeah, there has to be a phase where everyone doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So the phase where people don't know that robots can call people and impersonate them, that has to be the phase where anybody cares about it, because once it becomes common, no one's going to care.
Right.
Or you'll be sensitive enough to be able to detect it. And you'd still, who cares? But okay, I'm sure their privacy, I don't know. I'm not sure who cares about this, but people are probably flipping out right now.
Yeah. I mean, I get robocalls now and I hate them, but it's because they're trying to sell me something, not because they're trying to buy something from me.
Yeah, it's because they're terrible.
Right.
And so here along comes something that's great, almost indistinguishable from a human. And then everybody flips out. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Would you rather have the terrible robot, or would you rather force the person to spend their time with this complete waste of a human interaction? Of the three, I feel like it's the least of all evils, if I would have even thought about that, which I didn't.
Right, I didn't either.
So here's the, but I can pull it in a place that it does freak me out.
Okay.
Which is, in the same announcement, they did a demo of custom Google Assistant voices. And, you know, like Siri, the voice of Siri is an actual woman who went into the studio and recorded for, I think, for months.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of things.
Like sounds, basically.
Yep. But, but also phrases. So like when you hear, like, you know, if I'm just assuming this, but I assume they have a big library of common phrases that aren't like strung together syllables. But yeah, I think she did go through and just create, you know, record, phonemes, I think they're called.
I think so.
And that's wild. And they can kind of string those together to make word sounds. But it sounded to me when I read that a while ago that it was kind of a brute force method. And the Google method for what is essentially like a variation on the ringtone concept, where like, oh, I want a voice. I want like a different voice attached to this assistant. I want it to be, I don't know, a celebrity, let's say, like maybe John Legend, for example. And so they showed John Legend in the studio, and he recorded, I don't think they said how long, but he recorded a very, very small number. He spent a very short amount of time in the studio. And, you know, I imagine him going through the, you know, what's the alphabet sentence, the something dog jumps over the whatever.
Oh yeah, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
Thank you. And, you know, says a few things. Who knows how much? I'm sure we have got plenty of hours of audio just from podcasts where somebody could take that, and Google took John Legend's recordings and used them to seed a machine learning algorithm that allows the assistant to sound like John Legend is telling you stuff.
Right, like to generate his voice.
Yeah, like stuff he'd never said, which we've talked about on past episodes about video and audio and like the concept of a celebrity licensing their likeness or soundness to be reused in ways that never existed. You know, so like...
Yeah,
like,
without them needing to be there.
Right, you know? Man. So I'm trying to pull it into a scary place because it is called Terrifying Robot Dog. So the scary place is that is essentially, you know, AI phishing, where somebody, you know, some hacker, some black hat, evil 13-year-old who just really needs a date is sitting in his basement and listening to the podcast. Don't get any ideas, 13-year-old. And takes my voice off of this podcast, seeds an algorithm with it, lets it go for a couple of weeks, and then calls Erica using Twilio or something, or like some Google API, and says, hey, what's the password to the email again? And it sounds just like me.
What's the password to the bank account?
Right. And so it's almost like we need a safe word. So for like, like two-factor off on a voice call.
Conversation. Yeah. You know, even if you weren't doing anything nefarious, if you made your Google Assistant sound like you, and then it just called other people up to schedule your appointments and things, and you'd go in and be like, oh yeah, we talked on such and such. And like, you would have no clue.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be really weird. Yeah. That would be a bad idea, because then it'd be like, am I losing my mind? Well, I definitely am, but it would feel like it was accelerating. Yeah. Right. You don't want you don't want that. I wouldn't want some avatar going around, like a twin, essentially.
Right. You're okay with them doing things on your behalf. You don't want them impersonating you.
Yeah. It would just cause problems for me. Like, I don't really care. It would just cause problems for me.
Right. It would just be weird and confusing.
Yeah. Like a doppelganger.
Yeah.
Like when I lived in Atlanta, there was a dude who looked we looked identical. Like, we could have been brothers for sure. Same glasses, same build, same coloring. We just looked exactly the same. Same propensity for t-shirts and flip-flops. And people used to tell me all the time, no, it happened to me regularly with someone to be like, no, we met at that party at Jeff's house. I'm like, I don't know anyone named Jeff. And they'd be like, no, I'm sure of it. We talked for like 15 minutes. I mean, we looked that similar. It was weird. One day I ran into him and we were like, oh, you're the dude.
Right. Like there used to be a guy here that looked like could have been my dad's twin. And I would see him out and I'd be like, oh, hey, dad. And it's like, oh, you're not my dad. And I mean, throw in my bad eyesight too, which doesn't help.
Right.
And I mean, eventually we kind of got to know each other, but
it was so awkward lady and weird. That thinks I'm her dad.
I was like, well, at least she didn't try and hug me this time.
So the opportunity for very awkward social situations would mm-hmm. be high if you had a audio/video doppelganger. I mean, you could theoretically, the technology already exists in the lab that would allow your likeness to do video calls.
Yeah,
which is bonkers. The marketers in the audience are like, oh, really? I can do a webinar without being there?
Sales webinars 24/7.
Yeah. Interact in real time.
Yeah.
Live. Different webinar every time. That actually sounds kind of good to me.
That actually does sound kind of cool.
Yeah. And then a little further, and now you've got the hotel from
You're staying at the Hendrix.
Exactly.
Or the Raven, depending on which media channel you choose to consume.
Yeah.
All the carbon.
Yeah. So, okay. Here's a real life situation. So, Erica is working, she's been teaching knitting classes at this knitting store. Knitting store doesn't have a e-commerce website. They have just like an informational website. So, you know, the three of us, Erica, myself, and the owner of the store were chatting and was like, well, we could just like make a Shopify site and you'd have to take pictures of everything, which would be a real pain, but the site part's not the biggest deal in the world.
Right.
So we just like put that together. And long story short, their POS system, their cash register system uses this one system and the owner was like, well, I want the inventory to be up to date in both places all the time, which makes perfect sense. So, so there's this particular piece of software that you can buy that solves this exact problem. And I think this is interesting, actually. I went in a Slack room that I presume is populated with humans, but might not be.
Okay.
Because I've never met most of them. But I'm sure they really are. I'm convinced that they're humans that exist. And I said, hey, does anybody know about any, I've got this problem. Does anybody know the solution? They said, yeah, you definitely have to check out this. I used it with a client. It worked perfectly. It was totally worth the money. 5 stars. So, all right. So I click on the link, go to the website, and it's got one of those little chat pop-ups at the bottom, like little thing blinking kind of, and you click on it and it's like, oh, speak to a salesperson right now. Or Jeff is ready to talk to you right now.
Right. Right. It's always Jeff.
This is literally the guy's name is actually Jeff. So I'm like, huh? Like I hadn't even started reading the website yet. And this thing is like, bing, Jeff is ready to assist you. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to read this whole website. It's like chatting there. I'm like, hey, is this an actual person? He's like, yep. Might not really have been. And yep, actual person, sales guy. I was like, all right, cool. I'll get a couple of questions about, here's my situation, da da da. He's like, ask me a couple of questions back. Is it which version of the POS software is it? I was like, I don't know. And he's like, okay, well, if it's this, then we need to do that. And if it's the other one, then we need to do something else, but we support both of them for the same price. I'm like, all right, what would be involved in the setup? We have this big back and forth thing. And then we could set up a screen share that we'll do in Zoom that I can show you. I can walk you through the exact process. It'll take 10 minutes. I was like, yeah, definitely. That'd be great. Mm-hmm. Now, so, okay, Zoom link, schedule in the calendar, day comes up. I get an automated, I get an email, probably automated.
Right.
Click on the link, go in, person talking to me, no face, but, you know, screen, no camera, I mean, but, you know, he's sharing his desktop, goes through the whole thing. So I could keep going. At no point do I care if that was a live person.
Right. I mean, he said he was, but it doesn't matter as long as it worked.
So here's the thing. The reason I asked was because my assumption was that if it wasn't, I was going to hit a dead end really quickly.
Right.
So I didn't even want to waste my time basically going through choose your own adventure, a terrible pre-programmed choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
You see them in knowledge bases. Like you go to a knowledge base and it's like, or it'll be like, oh, send us a question. You type in the question. It's like, would you like to see some articles on that question? It's like, no, I want to send you an email because I want to talk to a person.
Oh, I hate it when they do that.
Yeah.
Make it so hard to email because like you have to look at all of our articles first and make sure none of them are the right one.
Yeah. So that's what I was afraid of. But as time passes, I would, assuming that this trend continues, and I'm sure it will, I don't know, it would take like a like an asteroid hit for it not to.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't have
even
asked.
As long as Jeff Bott knows his stuff.
Right. Yeah. I'd be totally cool with it. It was a huge improvement over paging through some giant marketing website. It was a gigantic improvement. So, I mean, I could imagine that, if we really want to go full, like you could imagine marketing websites disappearing and being just like an entry point to chat with, kind of going back to like call for price type of, call to speak with a sales associate type of thing.
Right. Where you're speaking to quote unquote a sales rep.
Right. That whole thing I described could, like the technology exists for that. More sophisticated technology exists than would require to do what I just described.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fabulous. It was totally great. Showed me exactly what to do. Here's where you click. It was super easy. Here's what you need to find out from the store owner. It was like, all right, great. All written down. I didn't even need to write it down. It's like, oh,
yeah,
it was super cool. So, I mean, that seems like, there'll be an army of people being like, oh, but but the arguments are, oh, that'll put Jeff out of a job, we'll forget to know how to relate with humans. We'll lose our humanity basically, or software is opinionated and it'll change fundamentally how we interact. And it's like, okay.
Like by and large, automation, it ends up eliminating some jobs, but it generally always creates more jobs than it eliminates. It's not that jobs disappear, it's just that there's a shift in the type of work.
That has certainly been true historically. I mean, like, horses are the obvious, horses for transportation are the obvious example, and the entire Industrial Revolution, and, pros and cons, absolutely. Like, we were talking before about how, like, there's something about, I worked on a farm after high school, and like, there's something about it that was like really cool.
Yeah. But, I tell you what, there were some people that I've talked to on that subject. There are some people that I've talked to in the last week that I would much rather have spoken to virtual assistants, because I assume that they would have been more informed in their job.
Yeah, that's the thing. Mm. Yeah. So I don't know. It's like progress, the place for progress to happen is digital now. It's not going to be, yes, we're still trapped in physical bodies. I mean, we're still enjoying physical bodies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always going to be physical things.
My physical body wants to sleep.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you said 48, yeah, I've been awake for 48 hours.
Right, because I was angry because I've been embroiled in the battle of the broken lawnmower and the incompetent warranty company. So, I mean, a nice, friendly, but not really invested, intelligent virtual assistant that knew what they were doing would have been far preferable.
Yeah. Yeah, than some, like, disgruntled, everybody's been on the phone with that person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. People are going to fight about it, like, for better or worse, pros and cons, good and bad, but it's coming. So there's no way it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of interactions that we engage in with people throughout the day that they don't need to be personal. I mean, nothing against people, but they're just like, ordering a pizza or calling to say, hey, there was a large explosion and now my internet's out, which also happened to me this week.
Yeah, day in the life.
It's been a wild week.
Yeah.
Like those things, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, sometimes it's nice to have another sympathetic ear human being on the other end of the line, but by and large, a lot of interactions that we have like that, they don't need to be personal. It's just like two people exchanging information.
Well, to put it another way, they're already impersonal, even though it's two people.
Right.
You know, it's not like, you know, is it an opportunity, you know, a salesperson or like a marketer would say like, well, it's a touch point. It's an opportunity to delight and amaze. And it's like, okay, yes, that is true. But the fact that it would delight and amaze me to get a competent, friendly, you know, customer service person on the phone is because it's so rare.
Right.
So all the ones, you know, like American Express is a great example. They are stellar. Like I call them and they fix it. A person answers and they fix it every single time. It's amazing. But that's expensive. And that's why American Express is expensive. Because it's just not cheap. You can't outsource it. Yeah, it's amazing. And would that be great? Yeah, that'd be great. But if it was a robot and I couldn't tell, I'm sure I wouldn't care.
Like, right. As long as your problem got fixed.
Yeah. Right. Like, how would I know? Like, let's put it like this. How do I know that anybody I've ever talked to at Amex isn't a robot?
Right.
We didn't decide to go out for drinks later. You know,
I mean, if you're one of those customers that calls and you're clearly like emotionally distraught about something, then yeah, it's nice to have a human being on the other end that actually is going to empathize with you. But the majority of the people that you're going to be talking to are not going to be, because they've heard that all day, every day for the past X number of years. And people only have so much energy.
Yeah, it's a dehumanizing job.
Yeah.
It does, there's the dystopian angle, like in Elysium when Matt Damon is sitting in front of the like the processing robot or his parole robot, and the robot is like, are you being sarcastic with me? He's like, I'm sorry, I'm not being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yes, you were. Okay, fine, I was being sarcastic, I apologize. And that was pretty rough. But, you know, that's an armed robot sitting in front of you with your freedom. Right. Yeah, okay, that's bad, but would a human in that situation be much better? Doubt it.
The thing is, I could be sarcastic with a robot and it wouldn't get offended.
That's what I want. I want Tony Stark on my virtual assistant. Like, I want someone snarky and sarcastic and short, someone who's short with me.
Like, sometimes it's very therapeutic to call customer service and just yell at them for a while. But then you feel bad about doing it because it's really not the support agent's fault.
They're holding the phone away from their ear the whole time, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it would be really nice to just be able to call and yell at a robot for a while. Sometimes.
Therapy robot.
Like, yeah, like I just want to yell at robots.
I like that.
And have them pretend to be upset, pretend to be sad, pretend to be remorseful.
Exactly. Oh, that does get weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, simulations are used all over the place. They do work. You know, they're not, you know, for like battle or flight. Like, you still have to like deal with the adrenaline of the reality, but they do help. So why not a
robot punching bag?
Yeah,
robot,
exactly.
Robot punching bag that you can just call up and yell at. Like, I'm having a really bad day and I need to vent.
Yeah.
And this might be a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, maybe. What would the name, Eeyore or something like that?
It'd be like, Eeyore, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right, yeah, let's stick a fork in it. That was some serious waffle. Waffles. I didn't eat lunch yet. Waffles. All right, folks. That's it for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.